Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Is God good or what? God is good. I'm so glad to be with you today. I'm so glad that you are here today and joining us online. Everybody stand up together. And I want you to repeat this after me. I'm moving forward. That's not good enough, though. Do you really mean it? Do you want to move forward? I'm moving forward. I'm moving forward. Now, this is our motto for this series, and I want us to say it together. All right, here we go. I'm not going back. Everybody together. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you my past is over. In you, old things are made new. I surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving forward. Do you believe it? Are you going to participate in it? God's planted something in you that He's ready to grow. It's ready to take root, and He wants you to move forward in it. I want to read a scripture right now. It's the scripture that's going to be the theme scripture for the whole series. It's out of Philippians 3. Paul says this, "Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Can I get an amen for that scripture? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, we began this idea of forward with a message called Seize Your Tomorrow Today. That was last week's message. Seize your tomorrow today. Paul said what in this? He said, "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward or forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal." Now, there's some words in there that we need to pay attention to. One is forgetting what lies behind. We got to let go of the past. We've said that. And then straining forward. Now, this qualifier to forward says straining. That means there's going to be some resistance. That means there might be some hurdles. That means there might be something in the way of you moving forward, or it's going to be hard because you need to grow. We're going to have to strain to do what God wants us to do sometimes, but He will be with us because what lies ahead is what He's taking us to. What lies ahead is what His desire is. Church, it is so important for us to really grasp that we are not promised tomorrow. And we have to seize our tomorrow today. You've heard the thing, don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. Well, that's basically what this is, what God says. What I've given you to do today, don't worry about tomorrow. It's today that I'm concerned about. And that you take every step I've laid out for you today. So moving forward is God's call to us. Yes, we are limited in this world by many things. But God is very creative. And He created you and me with the same propensity, the same behavior for creativity. We can do what God's called us to do. If He's called us, He's made a way for that to happen. God has planted something in you and that you haven't embraced yet, maybe. Yet, and it's time to move forward, church. With God's word, Jesus' accomplishments and the Holy Spirit's guidance, we can move forward. As Proverbs encouraged us, and I told it last week, let's let our eyes look directly forward and our gaze be straight before us. Don't hang on to what was. Let's look ahead and let's do what God is guiding us to do. Would you pray with me right now? Father God, we are so excited. I am so excited. And I pray, Father, that Your people are so excited here in this room and online. God, I pray that they know this excitement about Your word in us and what You've called us to do. You've called us to move forward, God. And yes, we have to think about it. We have to plan. We have to consider the ways. And we have to move forward, yes. And it takes time. It takes planning. But God, nevertheless, we still should move forward in everything you've called us to move. So, Father, I pray you open our hearts right now. Each individual here and online with us today, Father, open their hearts to hear your word today, God, to hear your message, Holy Spirit, about what you've planted in them already and what you expect to grow and what you expect them to move forward in, God, and then give them the courage to do so. We thank you, Jesus, for the power to do it. And it's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Today's message is this. As followers of Christ, there should be no decision, no thought process, no goal setting or strategic planning, no moving forward without consulting our Creator. Today, we will focus on the absolute necessity to consult our Creator in everything we do. And even if we know without a doubt what He's called us to do, He still wants us to have a conversation with Him, to ask Him about this, say, Lord, how am I supposed to do this? He wants to be involved in what He's planted in you. There are many scriptures that allude to the consulting of our Creator. Just a couple. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, so well known. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Psalm 32 tells us, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. This is the Lord speaking to us. Exodus 14 says, the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. Moses had a relationship with the Lord. Proverbs 16, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And how do we know that? By a conversation with the Lord. Jeremiah 29, we all know this in some way, some fashion. We've quoted it. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. How do we know that? By having a conversation with the Lord, by speaking to the Lord, by consulting our Creator. In David Jeremiah's book, a book that I've read recently called Forward, he says this, in 1909, young Lenora Wood volunteered to go to the Appalachian Mountains to teach in a one-room mission school. There, in the impoverished town of Del Rio, Tennessee, she became something of a living legend thanks to her deep faith in the power of prayer. Lenora knew how to turn dreams into prayer and prayer into dreams. And she believed we must step toward our goals in God's presence through prayer. Let me read that last line. She said, we must step toward our goals in God's presence through prayer. You should never take a step, utter a word, think a thought, do an action without consulting our Creator. There are things that innately that we know what we're supposed to do, but God is about a relationship. It's about you, not exactly what He wants you to do, but it's about you. Raymond Thomas was a foster teen who often stopped at Lenora's cabin in the knee-high clodhoppers to talk with her as she sat on the front porch shelling peas and darning socks. Raymond's seemingly impossible dream was to go to college. But how can I manage it? I've no money saved, nor any prospects, he said. Raymond, Lenora replied, whatever you need, God has the supply ready for you, provided you're ready to receive it. The money will be there for any dream that's right for you, every dream for which you're willing to work. Raymond asked Lenora to offer a dreaming prayer for him, and her prayer went like this. Father, you've given Raymond a fine mind. We believe you want that mind to be developed, that you want Raymond's potential to be used to help your life and lighten some portion of your world. Since all the wealth of the world is yours, please help Raymond find everything he needs for an education. But she wasn't done. And Father, we also believe you have even bigger plans for Raymond. Plant in his mind and heart the vivid pictures, the specific dreams that reflect your plans for him after college. And oh, give him joy in dreaming, great joy. The conclusion of that story goes like this. Raymond Thomas did make it through college in 4 years, working 12 jobs to support himself and graduating with a Bachelor of Science degree, cum laude. He also served in World War II and later settled in Vienna, where he earned a PhD in physics. He went on to visit 60 countries, master multiple languages, and networked with some of the most important people in Europe through his job with the U.S. Atomic Energy Commission. Years later, Lenora's daughter, Catherine Marshall, wrote Raymond that she was coming to Europe. When Catherine arrived in Rome, she found officials ready to show her sacred sites few tourists can access. In Florence, she was taken to the top of the Dome of Duomo. In Venice, a gondola awaited her. Catherine realized her childhood friend was known across Europe. When they finally met in Vienna, Raymond told her, "The fact that I could sit on your front steps and with no money at all, dream of going to college and achieve it, proves something to me. Very simple. What your mother said was true. Any right dream can be realized, and prayer helps you know if it is the right dream and gives you the power to stay with it." You've heard it many times, church, but hear it again and listen closely to where prayer is the fuel to move forward with what God has planted in your heart. Prayer is the fuel to move forward with what God has planted in your heart. Nehemiah was one of the most effective leaders in the Bible. And his story unfolds in an Old Testament book that bears his name. Executives and entrepreneurs have studied his book in depth because of the leadership lessons that it offers. Nehemiah was a Jewish official serving the Persian king in the city of Susa, 1,000 miles from his home in Jerusalem. Nehemiah got word that those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The walls of Jerusalem were broken down and its gates had been burned. You know that story if you've ever read Nehemiah. It's a very popular story. But we understand from reading the story that the news hit Nehemiah like a blast. I mean, it broke his heart. He mourned. He wept over his city, over the place where he grew up. His heart was broken and it was sad. But out of his deepest tears came his earnest prayers. And out of his prayers came a fervent dream that God had planted in his heart. With God's help, he himself would return to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls of the ancient city of his God and repair every gate. It seemed an impossible feat because Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer and trusted advisor, and the king needed him. The likelihood of the king releasing him, let alone financing the trip, seemed a far reach. But then there is God. God had already planted that dream in Nehemiah's heart, just like God is planting fresh dreams or reminding you of dreams that he planted before in your heart. He's doing that today because your mind is on that. Your heart is synced and aligned with his right now. Church, God desires flourish in prepared hearts. God desires flourishment in prepared hearts. Just like seeds in a furrowed ground, there's an expectancy that when you plant a seed in the ground, your expectation is for it to grow, right? Now, you have to do things like water it and sun and nutrients, but your expectation is when you put that seed in the ground, it's to grow. That's the same expectation that God has when he plants that seed, that dream, those goals, that vision in your heart. God's plan is for that to grow. So how is your heart when it comes to God? Is it sowed with God's word? Is it watered with humility and the readiness to do the will of your Father? What is the ground of your heart like when you come to God and say, like we said last week, the little girl said, "If I can do anything for you, Lord, just let me know and I'll do it." Is that what you say to the Lord when he plants something in you? "Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I'm ready and I'm ready to do it, whatever it is, Lord." As God begins to give you impressions and thoughts about your future, commit them to him in serious, ongoing prayer. It's out of the relationship you will know for sure what you're supposed to do. Many Christians have forgotten how to pray earnestly. Not pray. Everybody knows how to pray. But we have forgotten, or we've gotten weak when it comes to praying earnestly with intense conviction and with fervor. excuse me, passionate feeling. In college, I was able to purchase a 9-book study on prayer as part of a class that I had, but it was by a pastor named Ian Bounds. In one of those books, he said this: how vast are the possibilities of prayer? How wide its reach? What great things are accomplished by this divinely appointed means of grace? It lays its hand on Almighty God and moves him to do what he would not otherwise do if prayer were not offered. It brings things to pass which would never otherwise occur. The story of prayer is the story of great achievements. Prayer is a wonderful power placed by Almighty God in the hands of his saints, which may be used to accomplish great purposes and to achieve unusual results. This is prayer, friends. This is what we're called to, but so many of us spend so little time in earnest prayer before God. We must come to God with a prepared heart before any great purposes or unusual results can be moved forward or fulfilled. God wants to know he has you. He's got so much, so many dreams for you, so much to walk you through, so much to give you. Nehemiah came to God and he confessed his sin, Scripture says. Then he reminded God of his promises. And then he prayed, it says, day and night. Let me say that, we'll go back to that. Nehemiah came to God and he came with a pure heart. He confessed his sins. Maybe we have sins when we come to God. If we do, our heart's not prepared. That's not humble. That's not in humility. We must come and say, Lord, forgive me of any wrongful way in me. And Lord, I want to remind you of your promise. I think he loves when we remind him of his promises because he knows we're paying attention. And then praying about it day and night. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Prayer is the divine energy that brings the power of God into the plans he has planted in you and me. Remember, you don't want to give anything to God that didn't cost you something, right? He expects you to spend time in prayer, fervently, persistently, and in faith. This is a cost sometimes, that you set aside an ample amount of time, a quality and quantity amount of time to spend before your Creator, your Father, the one who planted the dream in you. Don't you want to know every aspect? Don't you want to know every turn? Don't you want to know every step? Don't you want to know every detail? I do. I'm that kind of person. I'm in the details and I like to get it right. And so I want to know every detail that the Lord wants to open up and tell me. But I like what David Jeremiah said about God granting success to those who will seek his will. He said this in his book: I believe with all my heart that God, the God of heaven, will grant success to his sincere children who seek his will for their lives. But remember, success doesn't necessarily mean health, wealth, fame, and fortune. When God uses the term success, this is great, and remember this, it means the fulfillment of his plan in you. That's success. Sometimes our temporal eyes get in the way of God's eternal plan. And God's success is different than ours sometimes when we look at it that way. His success means they grew. His success means, look how mature my daughter is. Look how mature my son is. Look what they've accomplished with the dream that I planted in them for my kingdom. And I believe that he's happy when that happens. Church, you've heard it said that if you fail to plan, what? Some of you know it. Maybe you've experienced it too. I know that I have. You see, God expects us to put thought into and weigh the cost before we move forward. I believe that as well is a part of God's plan to move us forward, that we must weigh the cost. He wants us to be mature. He wants us to be educated. He wants it to be thought out. But we also need to pray, for so much is out of our control. We can make all the plans, but we need God to open the eyes of our hearts to see every step of the plan that he is asking of us and expecting us to take and move forward. James 4, 13 through 15. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to do this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say this, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Does that put things in a little bit of perspective for you? Lord, not my will, but yours be done. You see, we don't have the mind of Christ, so it stands to reason that God has an amazing way of fulfilling these planted dreams and visions in us way beyond what we can imagine. They will be better than what we could ever expect. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. God will step in, church, and help us with and through the problems and difficulties along the way, even the ones that he has ordained for us to go through. He just wants you to trust him, and he will do whatever it takes to get you into the place that he needs you to be at the time that he needs you to be there. Nehemiah faced many troubles along the way while rebuilding the walls and repairing the gates of Jerusalem until it was completed. If there was a problem, Nehemiah prayed. And you can read all about it in the chapter. In chapter 4, 9, he said, but we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet his threat. And a couple chapters later, in 6, 9, he says, but I prayed, now strengthen my hands. At every turn when there was a difficulty, Nehemiah prayed. See, this was God's dream in him. God planted the dream. So it's important for us to consult the Creator about his dream in us to accomplish his greater vision. You have to go into anything. You have to decide to do the Lord's will. And you also have to accept that there'll be troubles along the way, that there'll be problems along the way. Expecting the devil to do his best to kill those plans and those dreams and that vision, you have to go in saying, the enemy is right around the corner. Sometimes I'll pray at the end of a men's group. I'll say, Lord, please be with us. If we take a step out these doors, away from each other right now, the enemy is right there waiting. He's waiting to take us down. He's waiting to discourage us. He's waiting to detour us. So God, give us the strength to do your will and to avoid him, the devil. We must also remember the one to whom we pray is the one whom the devil is terrified of, who the devil trembles before. God will give you overcoming strength for overwhelming moments. Listen to that. God will give you overwhelming strength or overcoming strength for overwhelming moments. The great Christian humanitarian George Mueller wrote this, the joy which answers to prayer give cannot be described, and the impetus or the force or energy which they afford to the spiritual life is exceedingly great. How well do you feel when there is a prayer answered? I mean, we should have joy just be able to come before the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. That's an honor in itself to feel good that we have that ability because of what Jesus did. But what about when you get a prayer answered? How many of you have prayed for years and years about something and it got answered? I've done that. I've been in that position where I've prayed years and years and years for my family to come to salvation, for them to know Christ as Savior and Lord. I've been praying for years. Many of you know that my mom was with me for a little over a month. She went home yesterday. My sister and brother-in-law came in town and spent a couple days with us, and they drove mom back to home. But the night before she left, she prayed to receive Christ as her Lord and Savior. When prayers are answered, it doesn't matter how long it takes, God is in control. Prayer is about aligning our hearts with God's. Have you been praying and it seems that there's no traction? or nothing that seems to be moving forward for you, can I offer you a suggestion? Would it be that you are praying for the wrong dream and the wrong vision? Could it be that the vision that you're trying to accomplish is the one that you want to accomplish instead of the one God has planted in you? Is it about you or is it about God? Whatever God plants in us, He will help to grow. I'll say it again. Prayer is about aligning our hearts with God's heart, with God's will. Church, we need to ask God to help us pray with the right heart. The Holy Spirit is ready to join in and help us pray what we ought to pray for. Don't stop praying. A friend of mine, friend of yours, elder here at this church, Tim Garrett, says many a times, I've heard him say it, and it's right, 100% of prayers not prayed won't be answered. 100% of prayers that aren't prayed won't be answered. We have to pray. It should be priority. Every morning when you get up, every night before you go to bed, and all in between. It should be a priority. Scripture tells us that in God, we have everything we need to live a godly life. And that includes how to pray, what to pray, and when to pray. Scripture shows us all of that. Romans 8 says this, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. You ever been there? I have. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. It doesn't matter if you don't know what to say. The Spirit in you will help that. He knows what it is you need to speak before God, and He will help you even in groans, because God knows our heart. Listen closely, church. It's not your dream that God wants. That's already His. God wants you. He wants you. He wants a relationship with you. And He wants you today rather than tomorrow. Friends, you can't stop time. It will move forward. And with or without us, time is moving forward. Ephesians says this in Ephesians 5. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, or meaning careful consideration, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Prayer is about redeeming time. We need to pray. If there's something we need to do with our time, it's to pray. Right now, as we gather, time is marching on, but it doesn't march without purpose. Time marches toward the completion of God's redemptive plan for the world and those in it. God is working. Trust me, He's working all around us. The question is, are you joining Him? Are you asking Him where it is, Lord, that I need to join you? The Apostle Paul in this passage of Scripture is advising us to redeem the time. Church, there is no greater use of your time than to pray and to consult your Creator. Yes, move forward. No, not without consulting your Creator. This is a crucial spiritual discipline because the kingdom of darkness is always at work to try and stop the advancement of God's kingdom. Friends, Satan never stops working against God and those who are fully committed to God's plan. Is that what's keeping you from doing it? You're afraid of Satan's attacks? If you're following Christ, Scripture assures us that we will be persecuted, that Satan will attack, but we're supposed to move forward regardless. Redeem this time by consulting your Creator. When you make prayer, right prayer, the most important ingredient to moving forward, you are growing in your relationship with the Father in heaven, and He is so proud of you. Raising something high makes it visible to more people and gives it a sense of importance. When you see like a flag, we see a flag. The flags are raised high. We see them because we know we look up and it's important. When we look at fireworks that shoot off in the sky, we look up, oh, beautiful, that's a good thing. That's why God told Moses to make a serpent out of the bronze, set it on a pole, and raise it up to the Israelites so they could see it. God had punished their sin, by allowing serpents into their camp. And Moses' bronze serpent became a source of deliverance for them when they gazed on it and believed. Knowing the Jews would understand this metaphor, Jesus said this in the book of John, that he would be lifted up and become a source of salvation to all who looked to him. By lifted up, he was referring to the Roman cross that lay ahead of him. His words were prophetic. His death on a cross has drawn millions for over 2,000 years. We lift up Christ today. Every time we come together, our goal is to lift up Christ, to lift up his name, to make his name famous in your heart and mind so that you will go out and make him famous to the world. When we come together at the end of our services, we remember that by taking communion. We're lifting up Christ for what he did. 1 Corinthians 11 tells us, for whenever you eat and drink this bread, this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We lift up Christ when we take the cup and we take the bread and we remember what Jesus did, what he came to do. And these dreams, these visions, these things that are planted us by God are possible because of what Christ did on the cross. And more than that, what he did from the grave. He rose from the grave. That's the full gospel. That's the gospel we share. We don't stop at the cross. We say he died and he rose from the grave. He conquered death. And because of that, we can be free of sin. We can be cleansed of our unrighteousness. That's God's first dream for you. It's his first dream for everybody outside the walls that doesn't know Christ, is that they first pray to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Then guess what? It's on. God is going to plant a dream that's a part of the bigger picture of his kingdom, and every one of us are involved in it. Isn't that great? And Jesus made the way. Jesus. So as we look up and we lift up the name of Jesus, our lives should continually point to the world to Jesus, lifting him up for all so that they can know salvation. That's our responsibility. The results aren't up to us, but the prayer and telling the world about Jesus, that's our responsibility. So as we move forward here, we want to consult our Creator in everything. You individually, we as a church, we're praying all the time about God's direction for us. And we need everybody to join in with that. But as we go into communion right now, the Lord's Supper, I pray that you'll meditate on what he did for you, that he made a way where there was no way for you. Let's pray. God, we love you so much, and we thank you, Lord, for today. God, it's so important. Your word is so important. But God, we need to spend time with you on our knees, hands lifted, on our face, whatever, God. We need to make the time to consult you. These are your dreams in us. You want us. That's the main thing. But you plant these dreams so we can participate in your greater plan, God. Thank you so much. And I pray right now for each person here, God, as they're looking up, as they're lifting up Jesus in their lives, Father, that you would pour out blessings and favor. And that dream that you've planted them, that vision that you've given them, God, they would constantly, Lord, be consulting you, joining you in making that happen in their lives and for your kingdom. Bless this communion now, Father, to your glory. Jesus, thank you for giving your life. Thank you for dying for us. And thank you for being the one true Son of God and raising from the dead. We love you so much. Bless this communion now to your glory and our remembrance. In Jesus' name.